Starting now? Okay.
What is your name?
Martin Landgreeb.
What are your duties as a probate judge?
The duties of the probate judge... the duties of a probate judge, that's why I've got you a nice little handout, too, to allow you to follow up on some things. But we really deal with things, like to say, from birth to death. And we do things such as adoptions, we do name changes, we do termination of parental rights, guardianship of estates for kids that might have been injured in an accident or get money through an estate, guardianship of the mentally retarded. Conservatorships of people, of the person, of estates, and then also decedents' estates themselves. So we really have a wide coverage. So like you were saying earlier, from little kids to senior citizens to when people are dead or deceased, we then have their estates here.
So are there laws that govern every little aspect that you just mentioned as far as like, or is it something that you can make a decision on, like a law that's not there?
All right, no, we're actually a statutory court. So anything that is in the statutes, that's what we're allowed to do.
So basically find the niche for every situation.
Right. Well, not necessarily a niche for every situation, but what it is when the cases come in, you have an idea of what they would be. If it was a termination of parental rights, there are certain findings that have to be made in order to determine that a parental right should be terminated.
So you have to fulfill every...
I have to fulfill everything, right, to make sure that that is indeed what is in the best interest of, in that case, would be the best interest of the child. So if it meets that statute, then we would say we terminate the parental rights and then go on from there. Same thing for wills. If there's a will, the wills themselves have to meet certain criteria, so we would admit a will and then we would go on from there.
Okay. How long is your term as a probate judge?
Terms are 4 years. And it's actually on the same cycle as the governor's election. So we're elected the same time as the governor and all the other state offices are in the state.
So you just been recently elected?
Correct, in November.
Who was your...
The last time I didn't have an opponent this time.
Scared you?
I don't know whether I would say that, but it was very nice.
What college did you go to pre-law?
I actually went to Western Connecticut State University. I was a history major there and thought it was a great school to go to. And one of the things that I really knew I was going to be going to law school. So it was something I always wanted to do.
As a freshman, you knew?
Eighth grade, I decided I wanted to be a judge. And then when, of course, you're in high school, they tell you, you talk to your guidance counselor and everything, and they say, well, if you're going to be a judge, you have to go to law school, you have to be a lawyer. So I said, all right, well, if that's the case, then that's what I'm going to have to do. So through high school, I was, you know, goal-driven of, okay, I'm going to go to law school, I'm going to become a lawyer and then a judge. And then, from, I guess, my experiences at New Milford High School, I thought, well, you know, I want a school that's close by. I'll just go to Western. Went to Western, got my degree there. And then I looked for a law school and went to law school out in Ohio. The college there is Ohio Northern University, and it was Claude Pettit School of Law, and I liked that school too because it was very similar to Western, very small class sizes, and it's very personal, so the professors all knew you, and I thought that that was better because that way you wouldn't be inclined to kind of, you know, be a slacker, so to speak. You would definitely know that the teacher would know who you are, the professor would know who you are, and keep you on your toes.
Why did you know in eighth grade you want to become a judge? Did you have an interaction with a judge? Did you, some show? I mean, usually like kids look at shows. And
yeah, it was kind of strange because I wanted to be an archaeologist up to that point. And then one summer we were down on Long Island where my grandparents had a summer home. And one of the guys in the neighborhood, one of the elderly gentlemen there, he was a judge in New York City. And I thought that was kind of an interesting job that, you know, seemed intriguing to me. And then when I went back to school that year, it was eighth grade, and in the school that I went to, they had something similar to like a small government for students. And they had the safety monitors who were like the policemen who read out tickets for running in the hall, and then they had like a little court set up. So they had judges, they had lawyers there, they had prosecutors there. So I found that very intriguing, so I thought, this is exactly what I want to do, so that's why I went into it.
Okay. How do I put this? What divisions in the government in the Milford that you involved in other than probate?
I think it was right around the time I got out of high school. I wanted to get more involved into the community. My parents always impressed upon us that you had to give back to the community. It was very important to volunteer or to provide some sort of service back to the community. So my first job, or actually first, I'm going to say job, actually, my first committee or commission was the Parks and Rec Commission. I was on there for about 6 months, and then I went to law school. When I came back from law school, I then served on the Board of Education for 6 years. And then during my last term, I was elected as the probate judge. When you're elected as the probate judge, you can't be elected to any other position in the community. That's just one of the statutes that dictate how the judge behaves, or rules of behavior. So based on that, I couldn't run again for the Board of Ed, so I was the judge of probate. But what I've done since then is actually I'm on the Tricentennial Committee also, and that's an appointed position. So you can be appointed to different committees and commissions. And that's a fun one because this is our 300th anniversary for New Milford. And it's kind of neat, too, to see where you can get more involved in what's going on, give a little bit of history about the court itself, and then be more involved in all the events that we're going to be having this year.
So one question I have, because of my oral history class, is immigration.
Right.
Is immigration a big deal right now in Milford? Day laborers, things of that concern.
As far as the court itself is concerned, we don't have a lot of involvement in
issues of the Milford as politics right now.
See, that's the one nice part of this position itself, is that the probate court system itself is a entity that's set up by statute, and our history goes back to the early charter from the king. So we're elected from the general population. We don't wear robes, so that's kind of something that sets us apart from other judges. And the idea is that since we're elected from the general population, we're the common man, and we just fit into this role here. But as far as getting involved politically, the one thing is that as the judge, you really are, your job is basically to be non-political.
You're set by statute.
Well, yes.
You're set by law.
Right, because you really can't have, our rules of conduct are such that you can't be involved in certain businesses that would be appearing in your court, and you can't have, you're basically supposed to be non-controversial because you're a decider of what happens in your court, right.
So, right. Kind of this follow-up question to that.
Okay, but as far as you know, the issue of immigration, or we've had an increase in the number of adoptions in the court,
right.
That's kind of interesting because a lot of the adoptions are overseas adoptions.
Right.
So most of them are actually from Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. as opposed to from the United States itself.
A lot of Russians.
Right, it would be Russian,
or
Ukrainian,
the Slavic,
right, Senate. Mostly the old Eastern European countries there, right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, on the side of being your own, without being in your position, what do you think about immigration right now? The new laws that they're trying to pass on immigration,
right?
As far as basically closing the walls. Do you think it's a good or bad thing?
Well, I think that the deciding factor should really be is that when people want to come to the United States, it's because they want to better themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They want to.
They
see the United States as a land of opportunity, mm-hmm. and when you look at it from those perspectives, you really see that everybody that has come to the United States up to this point in time is really an immigrant,
mm-hmm.
in some shape or form, either
right.
your parents or grandparents or my parents or grandparents. They've come from another country to here and have assimilated and become African-American, Irish-American, German-American, whatever the case would be. But I think that it's important that everybody gets to keep their identity. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they assimilate into society. Okay. And go from there.
So I'm saying, what is your position? Do you believe that we should close the walls like they are, you know, suggesting? Some are, some aren't. I mean, do you think there is a solution one way or another? Is there a solid precedent to put down and say, listen, this is getting out of hand now? I mean, to make an example is in Danbury is Kennedy Park, where if you drive over there in a work vehicle and you even slow down, you can get mauled. Okay. No one's saying that you should stop these people from immigrating over, but should they, basically, do they go, is there a reason why they go through the, is there a reason that they should go through the right channels to become a U.S. citizen and or a visa visitor? Do you understand the question?
Well, I understand your question. I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, I think basically
what would be your solution to this problem?
Well, I mean that there are laws that are in effect, right, that aren't even being enforced. So right. I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, what's practical. What is, you know, the most feasible thing the government can do or that people can do to solve the problem itself. If they're really concerned about the bottom line issue being, you know, is it a lot of illegal immigration or is there just not enough, enough access by certain people to the ability to immigrate to the United States, what are they going to do to solve that problem? And, you know, I think it's something that really you have to look like from a global perspective. It's not just the United States that has a perceived immigration problem, because people always want to be somewhere else.
Somewhere better,
or their perception of somewhere better. So I think that the bottom line would have to be is that when they're looking at, we're thinking that we have a big problem with, you know, healthcare or whatever the other issues are, everything is really, it to me, comes down to a question of education. And I think that if you're going to provide everybody with an equal opportunity to get an education, then by educating people to what they can do to make the best for themselves, that you're going to alleviate a lot of these problems. If you look at yourself, I mean, you've got an opportunity to go to college. You're making something of yourself. You're not just saying, okay, I'm going to settle for something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that come here are not willing to settle for the life that they've got. They're trying to strive and make their life better. And a lot of them, you know, they send money back to their families because they want to have their...
Which is mostly the case.
Right.
And,
you know, the thing is that I think education is the most important part of... A lot of our issues could be solved by, you know, the fact of impressing upon kids and other people to educate yourself to the fullest degree. And then once you're educated, you realize that, you know, there is no better place. And if you think there's a better place where you are, by educating yourself, you can go back and make your community a much better place also.
I think my biggest question for you is, what are your future goals in politics?
My future goals.
I know you love being a judge. And you obviously said that was like what you want to do from eighth grade, but
right.
Your future goals in politics. Mayor Marty?
No, I don't. I think that I really like...
Why not Mayor Marty, though?
Well, because I think that there's a lot for me to do here in this job. It's an amazing thing to have a hearing where, say, you've got kids that come in and say you've terminated their parental rights, you know where they've come from, and then you're there when they're adopted into a new family. And just the look on their faces that they know that they're going into a better place, and then to see them 4 years later, or now, you know, I've been here eight years, see these kids 8 years later, and you see them out, and they're like so excited to see you and to tell their story that, you know, they went to college, and, you know, this is what they've done with themselves. To me, it's phenomenal. You can't really get that sort of a result from that. And I think that, for me, that's right now, that's the the best thing that I can
do. You can't see outside of that. I'm sure there's going to be
right now is the best thing for me. In the future, like you're saying, I don't know. Being the mayor is a whole different...
You express your future. You express your future, said that is the best thing you ever saw. I mean,
right.
Not many people can say that about their job.
It's something that's it's amazing to me because, I know that I've told, a number of people the stories. That the thing that I find the most enjoyable about it is the kids are so open, and they always tell you things that they want to tell you. And, I always have fun with the kids when they come in for the adoptions. And a lot of times when they'll come in, they'll look at me and try to figure out what I'm doing here, and it's usually one of those things, is this a boy, is this a grown man, or what's the case? And, so when I sit there and I explain to them what we're doing, I like to make them a part of the ceremony, let them have the gavel and, be a part of it, say, you've seen this on TV, you know what the gavel means, and they're all excited to be part of that. And when you see them outside of this setting, it's great when you can sit back and see a kid come running over and, kind of give me a hard time when I have expressed to him, make sure you eat your veggies and your fruit. You're going to grow big and strong, not like me. And then have him catch me in the cereal aisle when I have, Cap'n Crunch and all this other stuff in the carriage. And then they'll say, I don't see any fruit and veggies in there. So kind of it's nice because then it makes me go back and eat a healthier diet too. I was like, okay, see, because people do see what you do, and they appreciate what you've done. So to me, it's kind of neat that way. That
well, because I know you, some people might think you got a short break with your disorder,
right?
And you just express that about that. Your size is how would you put it? Smaller, well, normal.
See, I think it's a normal lifestyle for me.
You have a normal lifestyle.
A normal lifestyle. Right.
No doubt about it.
But for me, it's kind of one of those things because my grandfather was 4'11". So, you kind of figured, okay, well, my grandfather's small. And
your father's very tall.
My father's very tall. He's over 6 foot and almost as round. I wouldn't tell him that, but he's a big guy. And so it was interesting growing up because, we were always told we could do anything we wanted to do. And, it wasn't...
You've done everything you wanted to do.
Right, and that was the interesting part. They never put any limitations on us. They never said, you can't go play basketball. You can't go do whatever. Whatever you wanted to do, you could do.
I think the limitations that any person puts on themselves, it should come to you because the obstacles that you had to, attack...
Right, and actually I have spoken to a couple of, kids that were smaller size,
right,
and try to impress upon them that, it's in your mind what
exactly
you can do and what you can't do. And, and I think that they kind of see that after a while when, I make sure that I'll see them out in the community, mm-hmm, somewhere or, go different places and I'll see them. And, I think that they realize, yeah, they can be who they are and it's not a problem. It doesn't,
right,
matter, whether you're, it doesn't matter race, whatever it is, each person's an individual, unique person where they've got something. Right, and that's the thing with any school. I think that, the one thing that impressed me the most is, from when I look at what I've been able to do, and I look at the education I did receive from the Milford High School, from Western. I was in law school, and all that I learned in my younger years, some of the guys and gals in school were saying, geez, I never learned that. And I was thinking, wow, I had that great base.
Right.
And that was what really helped me all along. And, when you have a solid base, you can do whatever you want. And to know that people are there to support you,
well, there's a lot of people
it's important
that have
too
a great base that don't take advantage of, pushing.
Right.
What you did, what you pushed for. Mm. You saw what you wanted and you got it. And
right,
the goal-oriented person gets what they want.
Right.
So I'd like to end it on that. And,
okay.
Oh.
Well, thank you very much, and I want to thank you too, because you've done a lot for the community too.
And,
I was actually talking to one of the gentlemen about the cemeteries, and I know that you had helped us out in one of the cemeteries, and they were really impressed by the fact that you had helped out and were trying to get more people involved in that. So. So it was good. It was very good.
We're going to cut that, Marty.